Explaining Postmodernism, Chapter 3, The 20th Century Collapse of Reason. Heidegger's Synthesis of the Continental Tradition. Martin Heidegger took Hegelian philosophy and gave it a personal, phenomenological twist. Heidegger is notorious for the obscurity of his prose and for his actions and inactions on behalf of the National Socialists during the 1930s. And he is unquestionably the leading 20th century philosopher for the postmodernists. Derrida and Foucault identify themselves as followers of Heidegger. Rorty cites Heidegger as one of the three major influences on his thinking, the other two being Dewey and Wittgenstein. Heidegger absorbed and modified the tradition of German philosophy. Like Kant, Heidegger believed reason to be a superficial phenomenon, and he adopted the Kantian view of words and concepts as obstacles to our coming to know reality, or being. However, like Hegel, Heidegger believed that we can get closer to being than Kant allowed, though not by adopting Hegel's abstracted third-person pretense of reason with a capital R. Setting aside both reason and reason with a capital R, Heidegger agreed with Kierkegaard and Schopenhauer that by exploring his feelings, especially his dark and anguished feelings of dread and guilt, he could approach being. And like all good German philosophers, Heidegger agreed that when we get to the core of being, we will find conflict and contradiction at the heart of things. So what is new? Heidegger's distinctiveness was his use of phenomenology to get us there. Phenomenology becomes philosophically important once we accept the Kantian conclusion that we cannot start as realists and scientists do by assuming that we are aware of an external independent reality that is made up of objects that we are trying to understand. But, from the phenomenological standpoint, we must also realize that Kant took only a timid half-step. While Kant was willing to give up the noumenal object, he held on to the belief in an underlying noumenal self with a specific nature available to us for our investigation. But a noumenal self underlying the flow of phenomena is just as problematic a notion as the notion of noumenal objects underlying the flow. Recognizing this, Heidegger therefore wanted to start, following Nietzsche's occasional but undeveloped suggestions, without making the assumption of the existence of either an object or a subject. So we start phenomenologically, that is, by simply and clearly describing the phenomena of experience and change. On Heidegger's account, what one finds when starting so is a sense of projection into a field of experience and change. Do not think objects, Heidegger counseled. Think fields. Do not think subject. Think experience. We start small and local, with Daseins being projected into reality. Dasein is Heidegger's substitute concept for self, subject, or human being, all of which he thought carried undesirable baggage from earlier philosophy. Heidegger explained his choice of Dasein by defining it as follows, quote, Dasein means being projected into nothing, unquote. Ignoring the nothing for now, it is the being projected that is Dasein, not that, if anything, which is projected or does the projecting. The emphasis is on activity, thus avoiding assumptions that there are two things, a subject and an object, that enter into a relationship. There is simply action, the action of being out there, being thrust into. The being projected reveals and clothes successively over time various semi-stable fields or beings, what we would call objects if we had not already shed our naive realism. Yet the long process of describing the phenomena of being, Heidegger found, led him inexorably to a question, the question that has haunted all of philosophy. What is the being of the various beings? The beings differ and change, come and go. Yet for all their changeability and difference, they still manifest a oneness, a commonality. They all are. What is that being underlying or behind or common to all beings? What makes the beings be? Or, raising the stakes to the Heideggerian question of all questions. Why is there even being at all? Why is there not rather nothing? This is no ordinary question. With a question like this, Heidegger pointed out, reason quickly finds itself in trouble, the same kind of trouble that Kant had pointed out with his antinomies. Reason always reaches contradictions whenever it attempts to explore deep metaphysical issues. A question such as, why is there being and not rather nothing, is therefore repugnant to reason. For Heidegger, this meant that if we are to explore the question, then reason, the, quote, most stiff-necked adversary of thought, unquote, was an obstacle that had to be discarded.